Amen. Well, good evening once again, church. It's good to be back with you. If you were here last week, I made mention that the Beacon Baptist Church has supported faithfully our family for the last 10 years, and so we're very thankful and appreciative of all that you've done for us and our ministry of what God has called us to do. Of course, this church is a special church to us, and our hearts definitely are with you during this time, and of course, with your pastor. I love your pastor, and I always look to him, his friendship, his faithfulness. And thank you for your faithfulness tonight. That's one of the ways that you can be an encouragement to your pastor during this time, is just be faithful. Just be where you ought to be. And that'll be a blessing, I know, for him. Well, tonight I want to speak to you on a simple thought, and the thought is this: resolve for his harvest. Resolve for his harvest. And the story of Ruth is one of the all-time great stories of the Bible. And here we are in Ruth chapter number 2, and Ruth has already made her journey from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And if you remember, Naomi and Elimelech, back in chapter number 1, they take their two sons into Moab. The Bible says in verse number 1 that they go to sojourn, which means that they go to stay temporarily. That was their main goal, their main purpose. By the way, it was out of the will of God. It was what they did. And so they go there, and they end up staying for 10 years. And their boys grow up there in Moab, and they find two Moabite girls, and they marry them. And over time, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. He passes away. And then both of the girls' husbands dies. Mahlon and Chilion, they die. And so after all the men of the house have died, Naomi makes the decision to go back home, to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. One of the daughter-in-laws decides that she's going to stay in Moab. The other one, Naomi, decides that she's going to return and go back with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And of course, we have that wonderful verse in chapter 1 and verse 16 that says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And so Naomi and Ruth make the pilgrimage, make the journey to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. Now, Naomi's home, and she's been gone for 10 years, and the best as I can read from this passage is that all that Naomi had was a house, a home. Okay, that's all she had, according to what I can gather from this. She has nothing else. And Ruth, being the younger of the two, the stronger of the two, she grabbed a bunch of sacks, and she slung them over her shoulder, and she headed out to the fields, and there for the purpose of gleaning some grain for her and for Naomi and for their sustenance. And so she goes out, in essence, to go and get some food. Ruth goes, it's harvest time. She picks out a field to glean in. It's barley harvest time. And so she picks that field. And of course, by God's amazing grace, she picks the field that was a field of one of her relatives, Boaz, his name. Boaz, very kind man, very gracious man. In the book of Ruth, Boaz, of course, as most of us already know, is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you read the story of Ruth in the book of Ruth, when you come about Boaz and you read about Boaz, look for pictures of Jesus Christ in Boaz, because he's the kinsman redeemer. So that's where we are contextually here in chapter 2. So now we're in chapter 2, and in verse 23, we see that she's starting to harvest, and she's gleaning in Boaz's field. Look at verse 23. "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." And so here what we see is the resolve that that Ruth had for the harvest. She kept fast, the Bible says, by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end. You see, Ruth had integrity. Ruth had some character. She had some deep resolve. That's what was necessary to glean and to keep gleaning in the field. Listen, if you're going to stay about the business of the Lord's harvest, Beacon Baptist Church, then you're going to have the same kind of resolve that Ruth had. The same kind of thing. And missions is what I want to talk about tonight. Listen, I'm not talking about the money piece, all right? I'm talking about the command, the commission, the order that Jesus Christ gave to the New Testament church, the local New Testament church, of getting the gospel to the world. That's what missions is. And that part of missions cannot take place without resolve. Listen, missions can't be a part of just convenience. It can't be something that we do because it's convenient to do. It's something that we must do because it's a commitment that we have made. Now, for some folks, it's convenience, and it's whatever they can do. But listen, it ought not be that way. It has to be a matter of commitment. We have a mandate to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, whether it's convenient to us or not. Beloved, that takes commitment. It takes resolve. And whenever and wherever there is commitment, there is resolve. Now, Ruth had a couple encouraging factors, I believe, along the way. Some things that helped her stay resolved in this matter of the harvest. She doesn't give up. She doesn't quit. She doesn't throw in the towel. It may not have been convenient for her at times, but she was committed to it. She was resolved. There were things that encouraged Ruth, and of course Boaz was mainly involved in that because Boaz was the Lord of the earthly harvest. He was the one that owned the field that she was gleaning in. He was the Lord of the earthly harvest of barley. He's a picture, as I've already said, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of his harvest, a spiritual harvest. And so there were ways that Boaz encouraged Ruth to stay resolved in the harvest. I want you to see with me tonight, real briefly, three things tonight. I want you to see, first of all, that Boaz encourages her to continue. He encourages her to continue. Go back to verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." In other words, Boaz says, Ruth, stay right here. Stay right here. Do not leave this field. Come to this field day after day, week after week. Work at gleaning the harvest in this field. Now, there was not a whole lot more that Ruth could have done, okay? I mean, in the morning, she grabbed a couple bags and she threw them over her shoulder, headed out the door. She went down to the fields and started there looking for grain and picking up the grain and throwing them in the bags. And she did that day after day. And, the next morning, the alarm went off, the rooster crowed, whatever it was, right? And she woke up, she grabbed the bags again. She headed out the door and she went to go glean in the fields. And the next day, she did the same thing. And the next day, she did the same thing. The next morning, she did it all over again. She had that same pattern day after day, week after week, all throughout this harvest period. Now, the harvest time would last anywhere from about 10 to 12 weeks. They would have the barley harvest first, and then they would go into what is called the wheat harvest. And so for 10 to 12 weeks, that was Ruth's pattern. She would just get up in the morning, grab the bags, head out, go to the fields, look for the grain, put the grain in the bags, and that's what she did. And Boaz said, Ruth, it may seem a little monotonous, it may seem a little tedious to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, but just continue. Just keep doing it. Stay right here. Keep coming to this field. Keep looking for the grain. Keep gleaning the harvest. Listen, we hear that same encouragement from the Lord of the harvest today, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear that same encouragement. Jesus, the Lord, he says, stay at it, Christian. You may get tired. You may get discouraged. It may be a little monotonous. It may get a little tedious, but stay after it. Can I just say we cannot improve on what God has already set up? We can't improve on that. We can't improve on what God has set up as way to reap in the harvest. You see, the biblical pattern, and I know we understand this tonight, the biblical pattern is that a man takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to a place. He begins to preach to the people of that area. He may go by himself. He may go with his family, his wife, his children. He may go with another man and his family. But he goes to a place and he begins to witness and he begins to preach. And he tells folks that Jesus Christ died for them, was buried and rose again. His message, listen, it's the gospel. You say, what's the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And over again, he gives the gospel, and he gives the gospel, and he passes out tracts, and knocks on doors, and he talks to people over and over and over again, and eventually, guess what? Folks get saved. And they gather together, and eventually, listen, they follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and they get organized in a local New Testament church, and now you have a group of saved, baptized, born-again believers, and that man of God continues to teach them and love on them and disciple them. That's the pattern we see in the book of Acts. And God has blessed that pattern all through the centuries. And beloved, God still blesses that pattern today. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I want something new. I want something more romantic, something more modern. And listen, people do come along and they do have good ideas to try to enhance the spread of the gospel. For example, years and years ago, right, radio, getting the message out via radio. Today we have all kinds of electronic means and abilities through the internet and television. And I'm not against good things tonight. These things certainly help. But listen, these things are secondary to what God has already blessed. God has always blessed a person that He's called, a person that He's sent, and He sends them to an area where people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God has blessed. God has blessed it when men and women take the gospel. And I think we understand tonight that salvation is just the beginning. You see, they then need to be taught and mentored and discipled. And before you know it, you have a core group of believers, an established local New Testament church. And hopefully in that church, you have some young men that are being trained and some young men that are being taught and some young men that are being discipled and mentored in the biblical doctrines of the Word of God. Young men like Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You say, why is that so important? Well, truth is, missionaries do not know how long that they'll be able to stay in the country. Turn on the television. You see how unstable our world is today. Many countries around this world are very unstable. And so that's why it's so very important for us to take the gospel to these folks and to teach them and train them and disciple them, because that missionary may have to leave the country soon. And that's the pattern God has blessed. Listen, why would we want to change that? I've heard of all kinds of things through the years. Of course, we have been over in the Bahamas for many years, for about 9 years. Of course, deputation, all that, and you run into some things and you hear some things along the way. And, you know, I heard all kinds of ideas and programs of things like teaching folks how to farm and teaching them how to irrigate and feeding the hungry and getting medicine to the sick and teaching them how to play sports or a musical instrument. But listen, I think we understand, I hope we do, that there's a huge difference between that being the end and those things being a means to the end, right? See, there are groups tonight that invest thousands of dollars for the purpose of medicine and clothing and food and musical instruments. You say, are you against all of that? Let me finish. But for them, they invest all of that and that's the end. In other words, there's no intention on giving the gospel. There's no plan in giving the gospel. There's no forethought concerning the gospel. For many, it's not about the gospel. It's all about the sports or the food or the medicine. That's not the pattern, church, that God gives us in the Bible. In the book of Acts, they go out, they're sent out. They're sent out with the gospel. The gospel has been entrusted to the local New Testament church. Now, if you take the gospel and you clothe people and you feed people and you teach people music, then amen. But if you do all of those things and don't bring the gospel, in other words, if you're going to choose one thing, choose the gospel. You may leave here tonight and say, well, he doesn't want to feed nobody or clothe nobody. You're not listening. The church's mission is not to do that to the exclusion of giving the gospel. The church's first and primary above all else mandate is to give the gospel. That's what we're to continue on in. We're to continue in getting the gospel out. Jesus asked a very sobering question in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In other words, if he's lost, and I take the time, I get him a happy meal, put him in a nice set of clothes, and give him a musical instrument, and give him some medicine. Now he's got a full belly and a healthy body, and he's a happy man. But if I never share Christ with him, and he dies and goes to a devil's hell, listen, church, it's profited him nothing. That's what Jesus said. So I'm not against making sick people well and hungry people full and sad people happy, but no gospel? No witness for Jesus Christ? The priority, beloved, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's what we're to continue in. And so Boaz says, Ruth, you stay right here. You just continue doing what you're doing. Keep gleaning day after day and day after day and week after week. And Boaz encouraged her to continue. The second thing I want you to see tonight with me is that number two, he said number one, he encouraged her to continue. Number two, Boaz encouraged her with comprehension. He encouraged her with comprehension. Now, chapter 2, look at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Okay, she's out in the field. She's got the sack. She's gleaning the grain. Boaz rides up one day. He's on his horse, starts to talk to her. He says, Ruth, I want you to stay right here. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. Just keep coming every day, glean this field. This is your field to glean in. Just continue doing this. And then he says, by the way, I love this. I know all that's taken place in your life. I know everything that has gone on in your life. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through right now, just this very moment. He says, I've seen it all. There's nothing in your life, Ruth, that has escaped my attention. Church, do you know what that speaks of? That speaks of comprehension. That speaks of the fact that Boaz was not some faraway, remote, untouchable boss. He was not somebody that was not in contact with the people that was working in his fields. He knew what she was facing. He knew her commitments. He knew her resolve. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed it toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, God sees it all. God sees it all. Paul, writing back to the church at Philippi regarding their giving towards missions, said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Listen, God knows what you've given. God knows what you gave towards missions. God knows what you've prayed. It blessed my heart. Last Sunday, a member of your church came up and said, we just prayed for you on Tuesday. That blessed my heart. See, God sees it all. Paul says, it's wonderful to receive this gift, but I'm not the only one that noticed it. I'm not the only one that knows about it. God has seen it, and God is pleased about it. I think we get the fact that everybody's always watching, right? I heard about a little boy one day. He's watching his mom put on that cold face cream on her face, you know, one day, and he was intrigued, and he said, Mom, what are you trying to do? And she said, well, I'm trying to make myself beautiful. And so the process, you know, you ladies, you know how that goes. And a few minutes later, she's taking a tissue and she's beginning to take all the cream off. And he says, what's the matter, Mom? Are you giving up? You see? But you know, on the other side of that, listen, child of God, the Father's watching. Your Heavenly Father's watching. And He comprehends it all. He sees everything in your life, everything in my life. He sees everything that you give towards missions. Listen, He knows what kind of car you could be driving if it wasn't for your sacrificial giving. He knows what kind of toys you could have. He knows maybe perhaps how tight it is back home financially. He sees what you do. He knows about when you pray. He takes note. He sees. He comprehends. Our God doesn't miss a thing, beloved. He's not some far removed potentate sitting on a throne somewhere, disinterested by His people. Now, He is on a throne, right? And He is a potentate. But He comprehends everything that's taking place in your life and in my life. And when the offering plates were passed just a moment ago, listen, He saw. He saw when some of you sacrificed to give. You sacrificially gave in that offering so that somebody could go forth and take the gospel to a mission field, or maybe a ministry here at home of getting the gospel out. And God sees that, and He watches that, and He takes it all in, and He comprehends it all. And I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart to know that, you know what, sometimes people miss it. The truth is, we ought not do it for people, But our Heavenly Father, He sees it all. He knows everything. That ought to encourage your heart. So we said number one tonight, Boaz encourages her to continue. He says, just keep doing what you're doing. Number two, we see that Boaz encouraged her with his comprehension. He says, I see it all. Finally, number three, I want you to see that Boaz encouraged her with compensation. Go down to verse 12, if you would. Verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and of a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Ruth's in the field, right? She's laboring, she's working, she's got the sack, she's picking up the grain, she's gleaning. Boaz rides up on that horse, he says, the Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now look down at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And so here's Ruth. She goes home. She's got the sack of grain thrown over her shoulder. She comes in the door. I'm sure there's a big smile on her face. She comes in. She probably slams that big bag down on a table somewhere. Mom, I'm home. Come look all of what I've got. And Naomi's amazed. She's asking, where'd you get all this stuff? Remember, she's not harvesting herself. She's just gleaning. She's just picking up the fragments, the stuff that's fallen to the ground. Where did you get all this? You've just been gleaning. And it's not the main harvest. Where have you been? Mom, I've been gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. See, that was her recompense. Ruth went to work, and she got recompensed by that sack full of grain. She did that every day. Listen, child of God, I don't have time tonight, but I can prove to you from the Bible that God will recompense back to you the money that you give towards missions. God gives it back. Now, He doesn't throw it out of the sky, right? You're not going to find it maybe big pile of money back behind your car when you get back in the car here tonight. Listen, but recompense, that word recompense, it means to give back. And God gives it back. Somehow, some way, God gives it back, recompense. But wait a minute. Boaz doesn't just say recompense. He goes on and he says there in that verse also, he says full reward. Now that's different from recompense. See, one day, we know the story. One day she's out there on one of her many days as she's faithfully gleaning. And one day she's there, she's picking up the grain and she's working hard. And Boaz rides up again on his horse and he says, Ruth, I see you're still hard at it. I see you're still working at it. Guess what, Ruth? You don't have to do that anymore. Ruth, your days of working in the field, they're over. Boaz, what do you mean? What are you getting at, Boaz, right? Ruth, would you be my wife? Would you marry me? And Ruth, she becomes his wife and she moves in with Boaz. And guess what? She no longer has to work in the field and glean in the field. Those days for Ruth, they're over. They're done. And can I say tonight, child of God, as you give and as you keep giving and as you keep giving, one of these days, guess what? We're out of here. One of these days, listen, but until that day, well, our job is to continue and to continue and to continue and to continue. And one of those days, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to leave heaven. He's going to stop halfway through. That trump's going to sound. We're going to be working. Guess what? But we won't be working anymore after that. We're going to go live with our Boaz. Amen? We're going to go live with our Redeemer. What I hope is by the grace of God, you and I, we will continue to be faithful in the mandate of getting the gospel around the world. So stay at it, child of God. Stay at it, Beacon Baptist Church. I do not know what this year is going to hold. I don't know. It's already been a rough summer. Stay at it. Keep at it. You say, well, Brother Lowe, I have this one thing hanging over my head. I have this debt and this bill, this same thing over and over and over, this week after week after week. Stay at it. Just keep gleaning. Just keep working. Continue on, because God sees it all, and God doesn't miss one detail. And God promises us a reward now, but beloved, one day we're going to receive the full reward. One day, real soon, I believe it's real soon, one day that trump's going to sound. One day you'll find that this white man can jump, amen? In a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. But until that day, Beacon Baptist Church, let's have some resolve in the Lord's harvest. Let's just continue on doing what God's called us to do. It may be laborious, it may be monotonous, it may be tedious, but let's just keep at it. Let's just keep at it. Let's just keep at it, so that we can hear that phrase one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Resolve for his harvest. Dear Lord, Father, we thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be on the giving side of the gospel. I pray, Lord, there's somebody here tonight. I don't know, it's a Sunday night, but by chance they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would come and draw near to them, or reveal himself to them. I pray for this church. I pray for them in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. Lord, I pray that they would continue on doing what they're doing, getting the gospel out, giving towards missions, being faithful, knocking on doors, being involved in vacation Bible schools, elderly homes, all of what they do. Father, I pray that you help them. I know it's tiring sometimes. I know it's labor intensive. I know it's monotonous. But Father, I pray that they would just stay faithful, continue on, keep gleaning, keep working for you. In your name we ask it.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.